This week's been a hard week for our church. As a member of our church went to be with Jesus after 9 years of cancer, Beck Gehm. I realise some of us knew her from afar because I often would tell you her story and you'd hear about her in my sermons, and some of us didn't know her at all. But we're family, and she was part of our family. And this week we lost a friend and a spiritual giant in our church. And so it's important to speak about that loss and grief today. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, he says this, "Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." He's saying there that as Christians, we do grieve. There really are things that are taken from us that we lose, but we don't grieve like other people who have no hope beyond this world. And so it's important that we today and over the coming weeks, we don't move on from grief. We experience it, we cry, we recognize what we've lost, but we don't do that without hope. And grief is the experience of loss. And so this afternoon, we want to just talk about what we've lost in our friend. This week, we lost a friend and spiritual giant.
Yeah, Beck was our friend. She was the very first visitor to our little church plant 9 years ago. In walked this young, fashionable law student. And we were a disorganised group of roughly 17 people, mainly families with noisy children. And we thought, she's never coming back. But she did, and she encouraged us that God was at work in building this church. A couple of weeks later, she sent Toby an email apologising that she wouldn't be at church this coming week because she'd been admitted to hospital. They'd found a tumour and she was due for surgery. We hardly knew her. She'd only been to church a couple of times. So Toby and I asked ourselves, what kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to play it cool, not too intense, or awkwardly overstep some social boundary? Or did we want to be the kind of church that visits people in hospital who we've only just met? So we visited her in hospital. We met her parents. We laughed together at the awkwardness of stepping into such a vulnerable space as relative strangers. But I think that one decision changed our lives forever. That small act of love cemented our friendship and established her in our community more than any newish dinner could.
Over the coming years, our friendship deepened. She served alongside me in a variety of different ways. She was our first admin volunteer. We ran Christianity Explored together. She introduced me to the special braised eggplant at a Chinese noodle restaurant, Chinatown. She was at the first leaders' dinner the first weekend away. She's been first in our prayers, and she'll be the first friend of ours to die. She and I shared our love for listening to Tim Keller sermons and reading C.S. Lewis. And she had a brilliant mind, and she would write to me about her experience of suffering and trusting God and whether he was in control of her life. And she'd send me these thoughts asking, you know, what did I think? Is she right or wrong? And they were always biblical, thoroughly biblical, and so rich in insights into life and faith. You've heard me quote her numerous times, and I'll keep doing that. I encouraged her to write more so that others would benefit from what she wrote.
But she was so humble and private. She hated being in the spotlight and somehow thought that by writing these things down, it would draw more attention to herself. But a bunch of people begged, and finally she started a blog, The Spanish Dancer, which is Cockney rhyming slang for cancer, The Spanish Dancer. Her reflections spread wide as her friends shared each new post on Facebook, and more people were exposed to her trials and trust in God. Beck was a great friend. She was always empathetic, but it really shone out of her. when in the midst of her suffering, she would ask what she could be praying for others. Every one of her friends has a story of her asking them for prayer points in the middle of her suffering, her radiation, or her chemo treatment.
Just a month ago, as her own health was declining, she sent me a text message saying, "Liz updated me on your pericarditis," which is a dumb little heart condition compared to what she was going through. But she said, "Just prayed for you and the Vine Church building campaign." So we've lost a friend, but we've also lost a spiritual giant in our church. She taught us a lot. You know, when we started, we were this new, cool church in Surry Hills, and all of us could have been, quite proud of who we are, but she very quickly came in and reminded us life is short and that our mission as a church is to prepare people to meet God in heaven. We weren't a social club. We're a place where people need to get right with God, and she reminded us of that. She taught us what it means to trust God. In one of her emails to me, she said this. She said, "What I think it means to trust God, it's to be able to say, God, you can take everything from me. You can take me into the deepest waters, the darkest valley, where everything looks absolutely unbearable. And still I will continue to trust you know better than me and are looking after me. I'll put my life in your hands." And she didn't say that theoretically. She was right there in the dark valley, swirling waters of cancer all around her. And yet she found Jesus in the midst of her afflictions, absolutely good to her, absolutely faithful to her. She also taught us that life isn't measured by achievements and experiences. She sometimes wrestled with feeling that she was missing out on life as she watched friends get married, have a career, and travel the world, all of which she was unable to achieve. But toward the end of her life, she started talking about how ungodly bucket lists are. She wrote, "It doesn't matter that there was so many things I didn't get to do and experience in this life. I'm going into an eternity that offers me more than I could ever imagine on earth." It can be tempting to think that Beck somehow missed out on a full and complete life. But we don't measure a full and complete life by experiences and achievements. Her life was full and complete because it was filled with love for others and others loving her. And that's what she taught us. We've lost a spiritual giant in our church. There's real grief and loss, but there's hope. Beck left a note for her family, which one of the things she said was this: "As I enter my last days, I'm at peace. I can't say I'm without fear of dying, but I'm not afraid of death. I have hope for what lies ahead, redemption, and that I'm being brought home." Lord Jesus did not abandon her. He came to her in her hour of greatest need, when she was most alone, as she was walking through death's dark valley, and he was with her. He walked her into the very presence of God, and he's given her the crown of life. She's with him today with no regrets, no grief, no fear, no suffering, only joy and life eternal. She was ready for this, and today we grieve, but this week was her gain. We grieve, but not without hope. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Father, this week you've taken one of our dear friends from us. We grieve her passing, but we praise you for her life of faith, of hope, and of love. Thank you for using her to teach us what it means to trust you. Thank you that she set our eyes on the hope of glory to come, and that she expanded our love for one another and for you. Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously with those of us who mourn, that as we cast our cares on you, we might know the comfort of your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing about our shepherd who is with us in death's dark valley. So please stand and sing.
We are going to pause in the middle of this as well, and Tim's just going to read out Psalm 23, and the words will appear on the screen. So please take that time to just reflect and pause.
Follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.